This is File 23, Cycles 3. Today's date is February 20th, 2018. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Brigitte Harney, who's going to talk about the beginnings of the Harney Tea Company retail shop and anything else she wants to talk about. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Brigitte.
And what is your birth date?
10/25/57, or October 25th, 1957, which is better, I don't know.
It works either way.
Okay.
And you were born where?
I was born in France.
And it's S-U-R-E-S-N-E-S.
Yes, in Suresnes.
And your parents' names?
So my father was Claude and my mother's name was Edith.
And what was their last name?
So that's another one you need to spell. So
yes.
G-U-I-L-L-O-T.
Gillot?
We say Guillaume.
Guillaume. Okay. And you have a brother?
I do have a brother, and his name is Pierre.
That one I can spell.
There's two names, so it's Pierre and Regis. Pierre Regis.
And spell the last part?
So R-E-G-I-S.
How did you come to the area?
I came to visit a friend of my parents. I had bought a house.
Okay.
That's why.
And that would have been about 1977?
Yes, 1977. Uh-huh. Summer of 1977.
Okay. Were you here as a tourist or a student visa? Or?
No, when I first came to the state, I came as an au pair.
Ah, okay. All righty. I know that John Harney Sr. started the tea company. How soon did you start doing the retail shop? And that was first over at the Main Street house.
Yeah, so John started the tea company under Harney and Sons in 83. Mm-hmm. And we came with Michael and our two oldest kid in 88. So the retail slowly evolved when they moved into the new space across the White Hart.
That would be 11 East Main Street.
Right. Okay. It was very small. It was not really serious. But then when they moved to Brook Street, and then I can't remember when we moved to Brook Street. I don't know if you have that somewhere. But that's where we established a bigger space with more accessories, I mean, really for retail.
And there were two locations on Brook Street.
Yes, it was 11, and the other one, I can't remember the number.
14.
Was that 14?
Okay. Yeah.
So in the 14 one, that was really where the first official, more official retail shop was.
And was it just tea?
Yeah.
Just the tea tasting?
So it was tea tasting. It was a very small counter compared to what we have now. And we had teapots, some food, mm-hmm. and obviously accessories.
More like finger food to go with the...
This little box of course. Yeah. Lemon curds, clotted cream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember being at the East Main Street house early on for tea. And you said that there were about 50 teas that you were offering at that point, roughly.
Why? Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. When did you move to the Railroad Plaza in Millerton?
So that was 2005.
And that was a much bigger...
Yeah, I was really scared, actually. because we went from 14, which is a very side apartment that was part of the three-bay garage that Hans Lucky had. Mm-hmm. And then we moved across the street where Dottie Smith used to be.
Right.
So that was bigger, but it was, you know, it was okay. But when we moved to the One Railroad, it was such a huge expanse of space. And it used to be a former restaurant, so it was kind of interesting to try to lay out the place for the tasting and the retail and where to put the restaurant. A lot of people were saying the place was haunted. And
in MacArthur's, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a little nerve-wracking, but I decided it was for the best.
Oh, absolutely. It's a wonderful spot.
Because where we were, the little corner of Brook Street, it was like very hard for people to remember to stop to see us.
Yes. Yes.
Or to find us, for that matter.
Yes. And where you are in Millerton, it's right on the main road. And
people have more things to do when they come visit us.
Yes.
So it's good for the area as well.
It's very good for the area.
For Millerton, anyway.
Well, yes, because a lot of people go to Millerton shopping, or they go to Irvington Farmers, or the movie house, or whatever.
No Blanc. So we have good anchors in the...
Very good. Very good anchor.
Nice. Yeah.
And the restaurant came shortly after.
Yeah, we started with just sandwiches at the beginning. Oh, even at the beginning, it was just mainly scones and... Yeah, scones and sandwiches. And then we decided to put a kitchen, a better kitchen with a cooktop. What do you call this? Those range. A range. And now we do full...
You do full, yes.
Yeah, for a very small number of seats, but we do.
But it's excellent. I had lunch there last summer, and it was delightful.
Yeah, the summer it's a little bit better because you can see people outside.
Yes, yes. Did Alex join at that time, or did he come in later? Alex being your son.
Yeah, Alex, no, he joined at that time.
So that would be around 2010?
He was actually, as I said, I don't know if I said that, but he was my first Sunday employee. When we were on Brook Street.
Oh.
So he helped me work have Sundays open, because at the beginning we didn't open on Sundays. And so he was in high school, he was at Salisbury School.
Ah, okay.
And he did that. So that's when he started to work, but that was obviously part-time.
Oh, sure, because he was still doing school, but he was coming in on Sundays.
And then in 2005, then he started to take over the little restaurant. It was kind of his project.
2005 he took over the restaurant?
Started,
oh my goodness. And with the food service, you started with like sandwiches and so forth, and now you've expanded it. Do you do just lunch, or do you do...
Yeah, just lunch, and there's no alcohol, only tea.
Oh good. Oh good.
So it's a dry place for people that don't want to be tempted. But no, only lunch and late afternoon tea, but we close at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people come for tea at 4:30, so it's a little rush, is that...
Yeah, yeah. Well, the English do tea at 4.
Right, but that's what I say, it's 4, not 4:30. If you come at 4, you have an hour to linger, to enjoy yourself.
Right.
Because the kitchen closes the cooking at 4, but you can still do the tea and scones.
They can be done ahead and just...
Yeah, they're just done in the morning.
Yeah, that's easy, that's easy.
Delicious.
What are your hours for the restaurant now?
So the restaurant is open from... So lunch from 11 to 4. Every day but Sunday. Sunday it's 11 to 3 for brunch.
Oh, all right. And how about the retail shop?
10 to 5. Every day but Sunday.
Good.
Sunday is 10 to 4. Mm-hmm. Oh, 11 to 4, sorry. I know some people say, oh, you should be open longer on weekends.
No, no, no.
But I agree with them because that's when the business is happening on the weekend. But
you have to have a life.
Exactly. And most people work the 2 days on the weekend. I can't impose them longer hours.
It's not fair to anybody to work that long. Because I was in the restaurant business. I waitressed. And it's hard work.
Yeah, it is.
It's very hard work. And you need time for yourself.
Agreed. So I don't know, there's also, I understand your point, you're Therese, you want us to be open longer. But we open 7 days a week, so...
You can't do
more
than that.
If I was closed 1 or 2 days a week, I was absolutely, we'll do it.
Yeah.
But no, we open 7 days, it's a little hard. And, as you know, to find people to work and good people to work in this area is not easy. So you want to treat them...
Fairly,
well.
So they'll stay.
So they come first, and the customer comes a little second after that, for their demands.
If you don't have... long-term employees, and you have a fast turnover,
it's
not good for business.
It's not. I agree. Totally.
I like what you're doing. And I thought your retail shop was so interesting because it had such a variety of things.
So now I've expanded, yes. I think of things you can do when you have tea. I'm a big stationery lover, and I know usually when I do my paperwork, I'll have my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
So I do buy things that gear to that or other kind of sometimes off the path.
But there's all sorts of things. It's not just tea-related, per se. It's not just tea and teapots. It's all sorts of things, that like napkins and placemats and paper goods and lovely vases.
For the longest time, I was with a one-stop shop. There was not much. And now there's actually a nice little gift shop opened in... A couple of more gift shops opened in militant, so I have to watch out what I buy because we
you
don't
want to step
on each other, or we don't want to do too much of the same. So it's interesting.
And they're all different. They're all different. Now, where do you get your material? I mean, your stock. Do you go to trade shows or?
I go to trade shows. Yes.
And sales reps come, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do you?
I don't really like to work with sales reps. I have only, I have to really like the sales reps. Some sales reps, there's no chemistry between the two of you. It's like, why bother coming here because I'm not going to place my order. Yeah. I like to be the source at the shows. When we travel, it's a little hard to source.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping when we went to India, but we didn't go to places where I could do that anyway.
Yeah.
We went just to the Teak Garden. It's no places to find artisan. Maybe next time.
Yes, yes. Do you try to use local people for gift items?
Well, we try that. We try some pottery from local potters, but the problem is people, they say they don't want to buy anything made in China, but things that are local are a little more expensive.
Ah, that's the price. Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, they'll put it right back. So, oh, that's very nice. So
there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
So we tried, there was a woman in Sharon that does a beautiful pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had some of that. But usually I ended up sending her the customer because he wanted more than what I offered anyway.
Ah.
So it was good for her.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
And I had a guy from Great Barrington, a beautiful potter. And also we try to do the local honey.
Mm-hmm.
We get local jams, within the tri-state area. So it's kind of...
Right, right.
Three states we can work with.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Because you've got a wider variety. How many staff do you have in the restaurant?
Oh, my dear. Staff in the restaurant, we have a lot of... The overhead is high.
Uh-huh.
For the number of seats we have. We have, I think, probably 5 or 6 total.
And how about in the retail shop?
Same.
That's a good amount of staff.
We see, it was 6 for the tasting room between the retail and the tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the restaurant has 6.
In the tasting room, does the... Well, it happened that it was a young lady when I was there. Is she specially trained for this?
Yeah. And I mean, they learn on the... especially they learn on the job, but yes, they learn how to understand tea, taste teas.
Is that something that do you train them, or do they come already?
No, we train them. Okay. But one I train less because I have a wonderful young man that knows a lot, so he trains them. So I kind of delegated that to him.
Oh, good.
And he's very knowledgeable. He's passionate. So you need to find people so that they love tea because they don't like to stand behind.
You've got to have animation. You've got to have passion in order to sell anything.
Right. Well, I just read an article, but the retail is changing because of the online business. And there was a fabulous article in one of the retailer magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they say, passion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why people will come to you if you have the passion for what you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'll just pick up the phone or go on their website, on their computer.
Yeah, you have to have something that attracts people to actually walk into the store.
Or drive an hour.
Or drive an hour.
Because they can pick up the phone or go on their computer, free shipping, free this, for that.
Yeah.
Kind of a next-day delivery. Why bother driving? So we have to offer something.
Yes, because the internet has changed. Newspapers.
Oh, my gosh.
Books. Retail,
right.
So many grocery stores,
yeah.
Which is good or bad.
There's some pluses and some minuses, I guess, like everything else.
Yeah. I still like to go and touch and taste and feel.
Me too, I'm the old school. But I think I think the millennials are a little different.
Probably.
I think maybe there's a little band around to more of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And less of the... Yeah, technology is great, but you want to, as you say, I have books on Kindles or my phone, but it's not the same as having
it isn't the same as having
a
real book.
I like to go through the pages.
Yeah, or you want to go back and reread something.
It's
easier. Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely with you.
Sure. I think it's going to come down a little bit. I'm hoping.
Well, things start work in cycles.
Right, that's
they work
true
in
too.
Cycles.
Yes.
And something that was a hot thing 5 years ago isn't so much now. So it does go in cycles. And you've been over there for a good number of years, and people know you. And, of course, the advertising is wonderful. And So you're a known brand, which makes a lot of difference.
Right.
And the thing that, that pleased me so much when I was talking with both Michael and Paul was that you hire locally, and you're one of the largest employers in the area. And that's good to know.
Right.
It's good to know. And you're good to your people. I've talked with staff.
You try to be good, yes.
Yeah, but I've talked to
but
staff.
To be fair.
And, oh, she says, I couldn't say enough good about the Harneys. You know, and this is why I try to do a variety of people in an organization, because that way you get a better picture of the whole thing. And I'm hoping that I can do Alex
and then, Rick, yeah, I need you to put them in touch with you.
Well, we'll talk about that. In the tea tasting, if I came in and said I want to taste tea, do you have a limit on how many I can take? And the limit is what now?
So now we have a flight. So you have usually two tasting on the flight during the week, and then you can do one tasting of your choice from the wall. If it's not busy, we can do two tastings for people that would like to compare, maybe. Mm-hmm. In Soho, they decided to charge for the extra tastings. We might do that. But on the weekend, like this weekend was crazy.
Oh, it was busy.
It was a long weekend, three-day weekend. It was a President's Day.
Oh, yeah.
We were packed. I mean, there was people
all over the place.
Solid. So even if people wanted to pay for an extra tasting, that would have been really hard to accommodate.
Sure.
We could barely keep up with our dishes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, because we like to do the tea properly in a porcelain cup.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the tasting? I don't know if you did that. Did you have that experience?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, so it takes a lot of time, preparation, and then
oh, yeah.
cleaning, and then we've been, it was a little intense.
We were over there in January, and it's my husband's stepson that's the tea fanatic, and he got chatting, and it was a young lady from India at that time that was doing it, and very knowledgeable, and Stanley was quite knowledgeable, and so they had quite a long discussion, and I think he did have two different tastings. That, you know, he knew what he wanted. I'm not that proficient. But it was a very enjoyable experience because it was not slapdash. It was done properly with a cup and steeping it properly and that sort of thing. And he really enjoyed it. It was a lovely experience, which I was pleased about. I was very pleased
about. Even if it's one tasting, I think the experience, that's why we bring them, you know, on this little bamboo tray to make, I don't know, because when you go to Asia or Japan, you know, the service, people really take care of you, they serve you.
Which is,
even though you don't, it's a nice feeling.
Yes, it is. They do that in England. If you ask for a cup of tea,
you
get the pot, you get the hot water, you get the lovely cup, you get Demerara sugar, you get granulated sugar, you get hot milk. And then my husband orders coffee and gets a cup. But it's a very lovely arrangement, and it makes it even better because you've got this beautiful cup and you've got a fragrant tea, and it's just a whole sensory experience, which adds a lot to what you're doing. I think you said at first with the tea tasting it was totally free and unlimited. But
unlimited, yeah, at the beginning. But as it got busier, people were coming with friends, and so, you know, it's one thing to do maybe four tasting for one person, but when the group comes everyone wants four tasting, if we're busy, there's no way.
No, you can't do that. So, you do have to limit.
And then there's space. There's limitation of space and supplies and everything.
Yeah, and tea is more expensive than it used to be.
Yeah.
And it just works better with one or two tastings.
I know that people have mentioned that they wish we do more special, you know, not seminars, but smaller class size for teaching them the difference between the teas and the taste. And so that's something we're tooling with, and we're trying to figure when we could offer that, the best time, you know, the size of the group. You want a smaller group.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want a big group. So that we're trying to figure the logistic. So hopefully we'll come with a plan.
You used to do a Christmas tea at the Wake Robin. It was a high tea.
I don't remember that.
Ah, yes, I went, and it was a high tea, which is sandwiches as well as cookies and cakes. And it was Harney tea, and it was sponsored by the Harney Tea Company. And this would have been back 2007 or 2008, maybe?
Or maybe the boys did this. I was not really involved.
Okay. When you buy tea, do you travel to India and Japan, or do you send Paul, or?
I don't send anybody.
Well, I had Paul in fourth grade. I can send him.
No, so Michael, when he came to join John in 88, the first year he didn't travel, and then he was trying to notice it was, you know, the offering was kind of limited.
Yes.
And he decided, because that's the way Michael is, he likes to travel and yes. to discover things. He said, well, I'm going to go to China. So he went to China by himself, and he came back, and his eyes were big open like this. Ooh. Oh, my gosh, there's so much.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so he started to bring teas, started to offer more SKUs, more unusual teas that people had never heard of. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it was before all those trendy things happened.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And
now, Paul said that he went to Vietnam.
Paul went to Vietnam and got really sick.
Yeah.
So when Paul joined, then he and Michael went together to on a buying trip. But Paul hasn't really traveled to Asia that much, except if he goes to Thailand because of the coconut water. Not even tea, but coconut water.
What does he use the coconut water for?
He, the distributor.
Ah, okay.
They're the East Coast distributor. But anyway, so Paul and Michael were traveling together for a couple of years. And then Michael pretty much does it now with an assistant. He has a great woman that works with him. And she creates blends with him and sometimes blends on by herself. She's quite good.
Okay. When I was interviewing Paul, he gave me two different kinds of black tea, and they were very different. I happen to like black tea, and they were brand the names that I didn't know because I drink loose tea, but I do often from another company online. Sorry. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this that I haven't asked you about?
I can't think right now. You're taking me by surprise.
So I've tried to cover. Oh, I want to talk a little.
So we're trying to keep to buy excellent tea and sell them at a really good price, so people can afford this luxury. So that was very dear to John and very dear to the boys. At least Michael, I'm speaking more for Michael than Paul. But
I know.
I live with Michael, so I know.
I know. I've told Paul he's still one of my kids. Because, you know, I had him in school. I had a little Elise in school. They're my kids. That's just the way it is. Thank you so much for this. I appreciate it very, very much. And I will have a cup of tea when I get home.